Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Including, you can write it down, Romans chapter 1, verse 17, that we see this statement in the scriptures, four times, not one, not two, not three, not four, but four times, rather, that we see the statement, the just shall live by faith. This means our faith or our faith in God must be pretty important. You know, if God said it once, it's important. If he repeats it, heaven knows it's important. If he says it, we find it four different times, three in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament, the just shall live by faith. It must be pretty important. In other words, our faith in God is important, or very important, because what this tells us is that we're to live by it. In other words, by faith is how we're to live. It's to become a way of life. Amen. This is not an option for the successful Christian. We learn to live this way. And you know what? It is something that we're going to have to learn to live by in this new life, because no matter how long you've been saved, there was a time in your life that you won't. For me, it was 24 years of my life before I made Jesus the Lord of my life, and I had a lot of wrong thinking, and I had 24 years of undoing of wrong thinking. And I had to learn, just like you and I have to learn to live this new life. It's by faith. And this is the life that God has for us, and he's destined us to live in or by. Amen. So faith is very important to all of our lives. It shouldn't be surprising to us that it's so important that we can't even please God by it. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. We can't even please the Father. So you could do all the works in the world, all the good works in the world, and not do them in faith and not please God. And so the motive of heart, our action, and our faith has everything to do with it. Because so faith is impossible to please God, for those that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those. He's a rewarder. He's El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. Everything he did and performed for us in Christ, he did it for one reason, for we to have it, amen, and to be possessors of it, not so that we could hoard it up, but so that we could walk in the light, be the light and the salt that God calls to be, and reach other people, and that multiplied as God is seen through his people in the earth today. Matter of fact, faith is so important because really, faith is how we receive everything from God, including your salvation. And then last but not least, to prove that point, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 tells us that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our what? Our faith. So what we're doing in this Faith Life series, currently where we're at in the series, is we are looking at real life issues and problems. How many know we all have real life issues and problems? Amen. Some of them that we all face. And then we're more importantly finding the answers from God's word to win over them. So this is not a therapy session where which we talk about all our problems. We talk about a problem that we all face, and then we present the solution that we find in God's word to that problem. Amen. And so tonight, in continuing in that, in this part of the series, we could spend to now to January looking at issues and problems that we all face. But what, you know, we could. But what I want to in particular look at tonight and in where we're at in this series is just one more thing, and we could look at many more. We've looked at, what have we looked at so far? We looked at worry or anxiety. We looked at fear, and we looked at sickness and disease. And we looked at the problem, those problems, and then we found the answer from God's word of how to win over that. Now, I want to, before we move on in this series, I want to look at one more problem. And in looking at this problem, it is one that we all face. And it's one that we all need to know how to win over. Regardless of who we are, everyone faces this one. We won't finish it tonight, but it is the flesh. And so tonight's message, if you take notes, we're just going to entitle it, Winning Over the Flesh. Amen. And so to win over it, you have to first know what it means. Because I remember back in 1986 when I got saved, if someone said the word flesh, you know, I have to realize this as a pastor. Just because I've been walking in this for 38 years doesn't mean everybody else has. And I remember the first time I heard the word flesh, I had no idea. I mean, I had some type of logical idea what that could be, but really in the grand scheme of things, I did not know what the Bible called the flesh. Amen. And so what we're doing is looking at, we want to begin tonight, what do I mean by the word flesh? And so in starting out tonight and talking about winning over the flesh, we're going to talk several weeks about this because this is a big one. This is big. Amen. And very important for us to understand. Because this is where the devil works to trip many Christians up. And without understanding it, they stay tripped up. And it doesn't mean they're not saved. Doesn't mean they're not good Christians. It just means that without understanding how to win over the flesh, the devil uses your flesh against you. And it becomes a trap. And many people ultimately leave the Christian faith because they don't think they can live it, or God is not real in their life because he's not showing up. Well, it's not that he's not showing up. Is, you know, when we have issues and problems, now this is not a trick question. You should know this answer from the last 3 or 4 weeks. We really have what kind of a problem? A knowledge problem. That's the way it really is. We don't know something. And even when we think we know, if we're having a problem, we may know about something, but there's a knowledge problem somewhere that when we get knowledge, the right knowledge, and I'm talking about God's knowledge, and when we get that and begin to apply that to our lives, then that changes everything. So let's talk about, begin tonight, what does the word flesh mean? And although this word is used other ways, I will be addressing it in its primary way in usage, in meaning that we see predominantly throughout the New Testament. Amen. So the word flesh is a term for becoming man or becoming a human being. Okay? It is a term for the physical human body. And I think we all get that. And that's very simple and yet very important to understand. The flesh is the physical human body. We all have one, don't we? Okay? And it's really important that you understand that that's not the real you. And we're going to talk about that in just one moment. You say, it's not the real me? Well, yep, you're going to find that out. And just a moment, but I'm defining the flesh. It is the natural human body, or what is known in the scripture as the outward man. So that, therefore, if there's an outward man, it must mean there's an inward man. So let's turn, when I say your body or your flesh is not the real you, let's define who you are. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Now, before we read this, understanding what this teaches is paramount to your faith and to your Christian walk. Because if you don't understand who you are, how can you possibly be successful? So the scripture says, Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, you say, well, what does this mean? Well, this means you're a three-part being. You are spirit. You possess a soul. Your soul is made up of your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotions. And you live in a body. That's why I said your body is not the real you. Your body is part of who is a makeup of your entire being. But the real you is your inward man. It is your spirit who is eternally made in the likeness and image of God. Your spirit and soul both are eternal. But when you get born again, it is your spirit that gets born again or gets saved, the inward man. So the inward man, when we say the inward man or the spirit of man, that's the real you. In other words, that's the you that gets changed when you get born again. Your spirit gets made anew. It receives the life and the nature of God. Can I get amen? Okay? But you still, part of that inward man as well is your soul. It's, once again, made up of your mind, will, intellect, and emotions. Okay? And so, and then you live in this body. This body is a very sophisticated earth suit. It connects you to this earth realm, which God created man to have dominion and rulership over. The way man would do that was by having a physical body. Amen. But we understand this. Now, a lot of times when you see something like this, you say, wow, I did not know that's who God made man to be. Well, without understanding that, we are limited in how we operate by faith. Because faith is of the heart, not of the head, and not of the body. You contact this earth realm with your physical, five physical senses, this body. You contact the mental, intellectual, or reasoning realm with your soul, your mind, and you contact the spirit realm with your spirit, your inner man. Amen. So God communicates to us, since He is a spirit, He made us, that's John 4:24. God is a spirit, and it says, they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. So in order to have true fellowship with God as spirits, had to be born again. Because when man sinned, his spirit became estranged from God. He no longer had that close fellowship. He entered into spiritual death. His spirit passed from life unto death. When we get born again, man passes from death unto life. His spirit is made new. He receives eternal life, and the Holy Spirit recreates as spirit, makes it new. Amen. And now Christ in us, actually, by the Holy Ghost, in us, the hope of glory. We have the same identical life and nature of God. Amen. So say it with me. I am a spirit. I possess a soul, and I live in a body. Another great verse, we won't take time to turn there, that proves that same point, is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It tells us the three-part being that you and I are talking about that. And so, as we look back at this again, notice there's an outward man called the flesh, and the inward man, the flesh or the body, this outward man. So when I say flesh, I'm saying your physical body, your outward man. Amen. If I said your spirit, you know who that is, the real you, the man on the inside. I can't see your spirit. I can see your body. Nobody's seen their spirit. But you can see your body. So what it's important that we understand that in the New Testament, it's translated this word flesh many times. It means something fleshly. It also means to be carnal. The word flesh means carnal. That means that you're body ruled. Now, God didn't call us to be body ruled. He called us to be spirit directed. and dominated. This is why we're to be filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, not to be dominated, led, or controlled by the body or the flesh. Your flesh, and write it down, we just write it down, in Romans 6:6 is called the body of sin. The body of sin. So the flesh, we find, by definition, is really any part of unregenerate man not yet saved. Because you're a three-part being. So I'm going to say that again. Unregenerate means you're not born again. It's not been saved yet. So your flesh, according to the scripture, your flesh is any part of you that's unregenerate. That's not saved yet. So tonight, let me let you in on a secret. It shouldn't be a secret to us. If you are in here tonight and you're born again, you're saved. Your spirit is saved. If you're born again, if Jesus is your Lord, your spirit is saved. Your mind is being saved. Your mind is being saved through the renewing of your mind. It is an ongoing process. James chapter 1 talks about the saving of our souls. Well, he's talking there in James chapter 1 about the process that we're going to look at in just a moment called the renewing of our mind. The saving of us. I realize that so many times you hear, you say, well, two people two souls were saved on Sunday morning. Well, we get what that means. But it is your spirit that gets saved. Okay? So I'm helping us to understand something. So your spirit is saved. Your soul is being saved. It'll be an ongoing, continuing process. And your body is yet to be saved. Okay? Your body will be, when I'm talking about saved, it will be saved at the resurrection. In other words, it will be changed. It'll be when you get your glorified body and you ain't got no more problem with this flesh. Because until you die, you're going to have some problem with this flesh. In other words, you're going to have to do something with this body. See, what we have to understand is when I say your body will be saved, that's at the resurrection. You'll receive a glorified body then. Our bodies right now are still death doomed. So the part of you that are saved is your spirit. The part that's being saved is your mind. The part that will be saved is your body. Hallelujah. So it's important that we to look at it that way. It's important. So the flesh is the part of every Christian that we have to deal with because it is unregenerate and not saved yet. It is part of us that is either being saved, our mind, or will be saved, our body. And this is exactly what we are told to do something with. We're told to, in the scriptures, we're told, once we get saved, we're told to do something with our bodies and our minds. So we could say we're told to do something with our flesh. We don't like to call it the flesh, maybe. We'd rather call it our bodies and our minds. That's fine. But you got to realize your flesh is made up of your body and your mind. Amen. In order to live a successful Christian life, you and I are told to do something. We have to do something with our bodies and our minds. God did something with the hard part. He saved our spirits. He changed it. He gave us His life and nature, and it means this, that on the inside, we have the want to of God. Did you know that? On the inside, you got the want to of God. The life of God is in you. See, the reason people don't, well, you got to be taught it, but number one, the more you're conscious of what the Scripture says, and you just simply believe that, amen, then that's faith, and that becomes a reality in your life. And so what does Philippians chapter 2, verse 13? Let's look at that for a moment. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 13. Now that wasn't, they probably will get, oh, here they already got it for me. For it is God, thank y'all, because that wasn't on the list. For it is God that is working in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. So this tells us two things. That on the inside of you, in your spirit, that God is giving you. Notice where it says that God's working in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. So what does it mean to will and to do? Well, in other words, the word will there means to desire. So God is giving you, in your spirit, there is a desire to know, live for, and walk with God. There is a desire in every born-again believer in their spirit to do it God's way. And this is what God is saying. That's good news. How could it not be that the Holy Spirit lives in you and I, and we don't have the want to of God on the inside of us? How is that possible? Well, it's not. And the truth is that we do have a want to live for God. That's what they both to will, that means to desire and to do. And that means the power to do his good pleasure. So not only do you have the desire to do what is right and do what God wants, but you got the power to do it by the new inward man who has been made new, and now the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of him. You not only have his life and his nature, but you got the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the same Spirit that led Christ and empowered him now lives in you and I. Hallelujah. See, you got to get that in your thinking. See, if all you ever do is look to your body, your body will try to control you. Your body will tell you, don't go to church. Your body will tell you, don't read, don't pray, or you don't feel like it. It might not tell you don't do, but it will surely speak to you and let you know that you don't feel like it right now. Oh, you'll do that tomorrow. That's your body talking to you. And the truth is, our bodies talk to us all. And this is, it's called the flesh. Everybody say the flesh. And I can tell you, the flesh ain't pretty, because the flesh will cause you to be carnal. Fleshly. And that means body ruled. Living by what your dictates of your body. And when we're supposed to live by the dictates of the inner man. But it begins by understanding that God has commanded us to do something with our bodies and our mind. See, a lot of times Christians get all fretful. They get saved. They have a wonderful experience at the altar. They know they got saved, or God's forgiven them and those things. But if that is far their knowledge goes, then sooner or later they're going to start getting confused, because the same things that you lived before you got born again are going to be the same things they're going to be. So in other words, if there was habits in your life, ungodly habits, habits of the flesh, there's a whole list of them in Galatians chapter 5. My God, I wasn't even going to go there tonight. But why don't we go there for one moment? Why don't we go there? Galatians 5, I wouldn't go there. In chapter 5, verse 19 is a good place to start. It says, now the works of the flesh. In other words, this is how the body acts without God. And so what I'm getting ready, okay, so here, let's just read them, because we all feel, the works of the flesh are manifest. That means clear. So Paul said, this is what the flesh looks like. They are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Now we could get even more depressed by defining all these words. Okay, we may in another service, but tonight I wouldn't even go here on this. Okay, let's verse 20. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I told you before, as I also told you in time past. He said, I told you time and time again, that they which do such things or live this way shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Pretty serious. So what I'm getting at is this. What happens is, many times as believers we get saved, and whatever the work of the flesh was dominant in our life, it may have been several of those things were dominant. Say it was hatred. I just hate people. I mean, I don't like being around. Just say if that was a predominant lifestyle of you, your flesh will still want to act that way. Until you learn to do something with your body will still try to lead you in the old path that you lived in, even though your inward man was changed. And without knowing this, believers, the devil eats their lunch and pops the bag and laughs in the faith and make them feel like they're about this big, and makes them feel like they can never live this Christian life. It's not that they can't. It's just they don't know who they are yet. And they don't know what God said to do about this. And the devil tell them, see, everybody else got it together. Nobody else deals with this. Look at you. You don't want to go because they may find out that you ain't holy. Or you're this. Or you're that. No, that's just the devil. And the devil will try to condemn you. You can't live this way. Or there's something wrong with you. Everybody else has got their act together, but you don't. Happen to know he's a liar. He's a liar. Amen. As long as you're living in this earth, there's going to be things you're working on. In your body and in your mind. So we have to understand here tonight that we're called to do something with our bodies, because that list right there is the way that the world lives. And we were part of the world. We were part of the world. We may not have all those evil things working in our flesh. In other words, in our bodies were controlled by doing what it wants to do. Why? Because we have the wrong nature. That's why we got to get born again. In order to change the outward man, you're going to have to change the inward man. See, you can counsel. Listen, you can only counsel the flesh so long. If you're going to change, you got to change from the inside out. Because your flesh don't have power. Your body don't have power to change. Not all of that. Listen, even if it did have the power to change, you still, if you're not born again, you're lost and you're on your way to, listen, you may have a certain amount of things by willpower and determination that you can change. But when it's all said and done, if you ain't changed the inward man, I can tell you when you die, you're still going to the wrong place. But the good news is, if the inward man is changed, God has given us not only the desire, but the power to win in life over all those things that we just talked about right there. So there's good. Look at your neighbor and say, it's good news for you. Praise the Lord. It's good news for us all. So this is what the Bible told us, exactly what we have to do. We have to do something with our bodies and something with our minds. Did you know that? So let's look at, in other words, in order to be a successful Christian life, it doesn't end at me making Jesus the Lord of my life. It begins there. This is where disciples, see, salvation is maybe a one and done thing, but discipleship is an ongoing process. And in order for us to be successful, we're going to have to be followers of Christ or disciples, and you make disciples. We learn something. The word disciple is a word that means a student, a pupil, or a learner in its simplest form. This is why it is important that we take notes. This is why it's important that we bring a Bible. This is why, see, if you told me I had a, you know, when I first got saved, but something changed in me on the inside. And I understood that what was in this book was different than Field and Stream. Come on. What was in this book was actually going to help me. It was different than the algebra book I had in eighth grade. Come on. It was different than the biology and all the other stuff. Now, all those things have a purpose. But this could affect not only now, but all my future right on into eternity. So it was valuable. When I understood this, I understood that the degree I knew this, because I found it real early, I had a knowledge problem. And all our issues can be solved by finding the answers, and they're all right there. So let's look at what the scripture says, where God told us we have to do something with our bodies and with our minds. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. So the moment we get saved, as spirits are saved, they're born again. It recreated in the likeness and image of God. You got the want to, the likeness, the power. That's the source of life now that we're to operate from. And from that place, we are to start doing something with our minds and our bodies. Why? Because before we're saved, our spirits are dark. As spirits, we are lost. It has the nature of the devil, and our flesh, which already got that fallen nature in it. Your flesh has a fallen nature. It's called sin. It's why it's called the body of sin. Let me give you a help. That didn't change when you got born again. It's still called the body of sin. It will still, you don't trust it no farther than you can throw it. Come on. I'm preaching butter and you're saying amen tonight. Praise the Lord. Okay. So when you get born again, the inward man gets made new. The light of God is there. But you still got the body of sin and the old mind to deal with. And until the good news is that when you get born again, hey, I got the life and nature of God. Now I got the power to do something about that. I got the light of God on the inside. I still got a fallen nature in my, so to speak, the body of sin is still here in my flesh. And my mind, it may be thinking wrong, but if I can change now how I think and allow what I think to change and believe right from my heart, then I can control and exercise authority over this body of sin and tell the body what it's going to do. Instead of, it's going to be like that train. Everybody know what the engine is on a train? Think about a train. You see the engine. What's the last one called? The caboose. Stop letting your caboose be your engine. Driving the show. When you start operating in authority from your spirit, then you get your flesh in line. And your flesh is that caboose right where it's supposed to be. It's supposed to follow your spirit through a renewed mind. That's the only way it can do it. If not, but see, the scripture, listen, let's put up this for us, the first three verses of Ephesians chapter 2. Let me prove to you this is how we all walk before we got born again. Ephesians, I can turn there. Ephesians, I'm throwing them stuff that I didn't give them. So praise God. Amen. It's all right. You're pulling tonight, so that's good. Amen. And you, verse 1, Ephesians 2, and you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses, who were dead, that means in time past, you were dead in trespasses and sins. He's talking to Christians now, and he's saying, you were this way. You were dead. You were lost. You didn't have the life of God on the inside of you. But now he's quickened you. He's made you alive. But you were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past, in other words, yes, in the past, you lived the way the world lives, one translation says, wherein time past, you walked according to the course of this world. In other words, you lived just like the world system. Dog eat dog. You lived just like the world lives. According, notice, according to means following. Following who? Well, I just was doing my own thing. I'm just a self-made man. Well, you may be, but this is what the Scripture sees beyond that, because you think you are a self-made man, you find out really quick that you are being controlled by someone else. Following the ruler, or according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil and his forces. The Spirit, the same Spirit, one translation says, that now works in all the children of disobedience. So in other words, those who refuse to obey God. Among whom also we all had. Ooh. Look at your neighbor and say, you had that too? Yep, you sure did. You had that too. In whom also we all had our conversation. That means manner of life in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling or obeying the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, the children of wrath, even as others. So, listen, the reason we live wrong in our body and thought wrong in our minds is because our inner man, our nature, our spirits were wrong. We were children of the devil. And children of the devil, you had the thoughts of the devil and of the world system. You say, I don't know if I had all the thoughts of the devil. You had thoughts of the world system. That's where they come from. That's what the Scripture says right there. We just read it. So you control by the thoughts of your mind. They came from the devil. And by the whims of the flesh that was controlled. That's where it all came from. But the good news is it didn't stop there. It goes on and said, but God... Everybody say, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he have loved us, even when we are dead in sins, hath he made us alive together with Christ. For by grace are ye saved, and have raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Woo! Glory to God. So he changed us. So he changed us. Hallelujah. He changed the inward man. But it tells us right here that our minds and our lives that we live through this body was controlled by who? The prince of the power of the air. Oh, we thought we were our own man. But I can tell you, we were just like the puppet master was doing. How about doing this? How about doing that? How about sleeping with this one? How about doing that one? How about smoking this? How about stealing that? All those things, the list go on. Now, you're responsible. He gave you the suggestions. You did it. But the point is, you had the wrong nature. And this flesh in this body is still called the body of sin. So when we get saved, we got the light of God on the inside of us. But we still got a body that we have to do something with, take authority over it. And we have to do something with that mind. Romans 12, 1 and 2, here's what it says. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. So you're going from being unholy to doing something holy with it. See, you determine whether your body's going to be holy or unholy. You do. You do. I don't feel holy. Well, it didn't say you feel holy. It says you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. In other words, what does it mean? You present your body. You don't let your body do what it wants to do. That's right. Oh, so let's give an example that probably won't offend you. When the third and fourth piece of pie speaks to you in the refrigerator, you need to learn to say no to it. I'm being nice. Praise the Lord. Say no to it. You say no to it. You don't let your body do what it rules. You don't let it rule you. You don't let your beady eyes look where it don't belong at. You don't let your hands touch things and handle things that it don't supposed to be touching and handling. Ooh, glory to God. Look at your neighbor and say, he's only got a few more minutes. Hang in there. Praise the Lord. By the mercies of God that you present your bodies. How are you? See, notice it says present your body. You present your body. Two different things. You, your spirit, present your body. Two different things. See, the Bible doesn't call you a body. It calls you a spirit. You have a flesh. And we have to learn that through as spirits that's supposed to be we in control of or allow through as spirit by the power of the Holy Spirit control the flesh. It says, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. One translation says it's your reasonable worship. In other words, when we don't let our bodies do what it wants to do, and we make it do what God says to do, like get up in the morning and come to church, or like instead of going to bed early on Wednesday night, now so that, listen, you came to church. Amen. Hallelujah. Or for those that are watching online, you're not falling asleep and turning me off right now. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. See, when we do the right things with our body, do you know that's called that worship? Here's what we think worship is. Oh, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. And we're just worshiping God. But you know, a lot of times, you ain't never been in the worship service. You're worshiping God. Because you just walked in, you know, a couple months ago. Now, I'm not trying to be vulgar or anything. I'm trying to give us an example. Okay? So you just walked in. You walked in your favorite grocery store, and all you were trying to do is get a head of lettuce. But a couple months ago, it was 95 that day, and Sally Sue, who is a fulfillment of Ephesians 2, 1 through 3 in his laws, she came in with her bathing suit on. And she was there at the lettuce. Do I need to say any more? Okay. And so, reasonable service of worship is you don't let your eyes, see, you don't let your eyes go where they don't supposed to go. Or, you know, so Billy Graham said it like this. He said, the first look, you can't help. In other words, you can't help if you walk by into somebody and boom, it's there. You can't help that. He said, but the second look is yours. So in other words, when you're pushing your basket and you run over the end cap because you were looking back the other way, that was you. So he always said, this is how you resolve that. The first look is innocent. The second look is yours. The third look, you don't go to the second look. You just begin to thank God for your spouse. Hallelujah. That's what he said. It worked for him. I done put it to practice a few times, I can tell you. You why? Because the body of sin is real.
Yes, it is.
And it doesn't mean you're bad, evil, or anything else. The matter of fact, here's what the devil will try to do. The devil will try to get you condemned in that and make you feel like there's no way you can win over this. But notice it says we're to do something with our bodies. What do? We're to present it a living sacrifice. We present it a living sacrifice. And I gave us a couple of examples, but for time's sake, let's get verse 2 in it and we'll close. And it says, and you know this verse, be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So we're to be transformed, the way we're changed, the way we take what's on the inside and manifest on the outside is through the renewing of our mind. That's how we're transformed. And the word renew means to exchange your way of thinking for God's way of thinking. This is why we need this knowledge right here. Because we have to begin to think the way God thinks. So if God calls something sin, if we did not know that, then when we learn that, we start calling that sin. And we stay away from it. We say, God, forgive me. Forgive me, I repent. and I ask you to help me. And I know that you do because you live in me. It's you working in me, both to willing to do your good pleasure, Lord. So thank you. I have the want to of God. I can win over this. Matter of fact, I've got authority over it. So, but renewing your mind means to exchange your way of thinking for God's way of thinking. So, when your body tells you, well, you know what? You set the world on fire. You've been to church twice this month, so just forget about it. You ain't got to know. You don't push the envelope now. Don't be, you know. See, the devil will tell you all kind of things. When you renew your mind, you recognize, wait a minute, where did that thought come from? Yeah, it feels real good to your body because your body says, now, you just stay home, you deserve a break today, and all the stuff. And listen, I'm not saying there's not time for rest and all that kind of stuff. Listen, there's a place, but I can tell you, when you understand, the devil would tell you to stay away from where you're supposed to be, then you just say, wait one minute, devil, no, I'm not listening to that. Amen. Yep, I'm tired. It's been a long day. But if I wanted to go Walmart, I suddenly got energized. I'm going right on down to put now. Come on. Or if somebody called me and said, hey, let's go out to eat tonight. Oh, I think I will. Praise the Lord. Oh, that good idea. Oh, I think that good. That was God, brother. I can tell you, it was God. Just tell them, Will, if you come to church with me, praise the Lord. You get the idea. So God tells us to do something with our mind. It's called renew it. He told us to do something with our bodies. It's called control it. Hallelujah. And then we look at this one other verse, and it's time to close. 8. I told you that was it, but we got one more. Romans 8:13. This will help you. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. That means spiritual death. If you live that way. If you live catering your flesh, you'll die. It's talking about, in context, spiritual death there. Because the believer is not to live after the flesh. And remember that list of the flesh stuff there? We get that worked out of our life. We get the word working in our lives, get that out of our life. Notice, if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if you through the Spirit, capital Spirit, the Holy Spirit, if you, your spirit, through the Holy Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. So it's the Holy Spirit through your spirit, or you could say it's your spirit by the power of the Holy Spirit that puts the deeds of the flesh to death. You say, no, you're not going to dominate me. It's learning a whole new life. And you know what? This is something we learn and we live for the rest of our life. Pastor Chris, would you just pray for me that I would never have a problem with my flesh again? What you want me to do? Pray you die? Because that's the only way it will happen. Let me tell you something. The only time you're not going to have a problem with this flesh or have to say no to it or command it to stop eating or do the right thing or not do the wrong thing to some degree, is until you get, either you're in heaven or you get this glorified body. Everybody say, come Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. But until he comes and until we're there, God's given us the goods to live a victorious life now, right here. Because you are a spirit, you possess a soul, you live in a body, and God's Holy Spirit is greatest. Why it says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. Hope this has helped you tonight. It didn't hurt you. So this is winning over the flesh. We're going to have several other messages on this because this is a big topic and it helps us. Because this is probably one of the number one areas that people get tripped up. Believers get tripped up in right here. You can't talk too much about it. So if it takes me 5 weeks, but next week You want to be here because the potters will be here. Our missionaries will be here. Oh, two of our missionaries will be here. And I can tell you, he's a flat-out teacher, man. It's going to be good. They will minister to us. And then the following Wednesday night, you need to be here because we'll have our family event, Family Fun Day. You know, that's the day that we have three times as many people show up an hour early than an hour later on a regular service that we get fed the word on. Okay, just a thought, praise the Lord. That's it. No, but not you, because you're here.
We're here.
Now listen, I'm not trying to beat nobody up. I'm just really, listen, I know what works. I know what makes you win. And I know when you're isolated and when the devil plays unfair, I can just tell you there's so many people that get defeated because they just haven't done it God's way. And they, you know, I get it. Life beats you up, and you got to know how to win over it. And this is what this is about. Amen. Praise God. Let's all stand to our feet tonight. Brother Ryan, thank you, brother. Amen. I thought I heard something. I'm saying, man, the angels are singing over.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.